In the name of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. Amen. For I say unto you, that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven. When we profess our faith, as we just have, when we profess our faith every time, each and every time, we say the Nicene Creed. We not only state that we believe in one God, the Father Almighty, but we also state that we believe that He is the Maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible. By this profession, we believe that God created the physical world and the spiritual world. The spiritual world, or the heavens, including the host of angels. St. Paul preached this very principle to the church at Colossae, and to us as well. For by Him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by Him and for Him, and He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. Now, I put together the other day this angel hierarchy in the choirs, and where in this lesson that St. Paul gave us, where he preached to the church in Colossae, he mentioned thrones and dominions and principalities and powers. Those are different ranks of angels. We find that thrones is in the first hierarchy, and then the others, dominions, principalities, and powers, are in the second hierarchy. Now, I won't go through this, but it's just something that's kind of interesting that we have these angels, and that God created these very specific jobs or works for these angels. Well, our gospel lesson states, in heaven, they're angels. There. It's possessive. It means that we have angels that watch over us. They do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven. Angel, which when it's translated from the original Hebrew, and I certainly won't butcher that word for you this morning, it means messenger. We learn from our gospel lesson that the angels are God's messengers. Being in the beatific vision of God, seeing Him face to face, are in continual contentment. The angels behold His beauty and His magnificence without any interruption whatsoever. You know, as I mentioned with this handout, that, you know, God's angels, If I carried this further, but I certainly don't want to give any glory to the evil side from the altar or from the pulpit, but each one of these ranks of angels are to combat an evil angel. And I didn't put that in here because I knew it was going to be for purposes of a sermon and glorifying God and His creation and His angels. But they do that each rank of angels of God, they battle certain evil angels of Satan. Now, Michael the Archangel, as we found out through the lesson appointed for the epistle, he fought the dragon. That old serpent. There's a little bit of a drawback to the Old Testament. For people understood what the serpent did in the garden, so that old serpent, the devil, and Satan. So we know exactly who Michael is battling. So next we're going to talk a little bit about the angels and what they do for us. So with this little bit of background on the angel, let's turn our attention to God's mightiest angelic soldier, Michael the Archangel. And as we heard, there was war in heaven. That's a little odd phrase, but heaven had to be cleansed. There was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. And the dragon fought and his angels. So God created these ranks of angels to combat the angels of Satan. And prevail not. Those evil angels did not prevail. neither was their place found anymore in heaven. It's important to note that this war in heaven is not a sign, and we know what signs are, for in the Gospel of John, the signs are the miracles. So it's not a miracle, or it's not a parable. You know, a parable were Jesus' teachings that were open to those who had faith and belief, and the message of those parables was hid from those with unbelief. But this is not a parable as well, because the presence of Satan in heaven at that time was a reality. Well, the first step in the execution of the final judgment of Satan is depicted in these verses that we just heard. Michael means, who is like unto God? Michael the archangel is designated the great prince. We find that depicting him as the angel above all angels, as told in the book of Daniel. It's the 12th chapter, the first verse. Well, it's, as I mentioned, it's a little bit unusual to hear the words war in heaven, because heaven to us is a place where we know and that we understand that peace reigns, that the peace of God reigns. However, it is in heaven where the ultimate doom and defeat of Satan began. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. When he was cast down to the world, he started his work here, and we know how well that temptation sometimes will work. But it's our job is not to defeat Satan. Our job is to overcome temptation by the power of the Holy Spirit that indwells our hearts, and as we're going to find out, by the aid of angels, by our guardian angel. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels, there it is again, his angels were cast out with him. For Jesus told his disciples, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Neither Satan nor any of his angels will ever regain access or rule in heaven. And I heard a loud voice, the I is St. John in his revelation. And I heard a loud voice in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser, Satan, for the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them as God's created, accused them before our God day and night. Satan never rests. This vision of St. John clearly illustrates that when the earth moans and mourns, heaven rejoices, which really teaches us just how out of sync or communion the world is in regards to heaven. Well, Satan and his angels, they tirelessly just work mankind with temptation. This work, it's subtle in action, or it can be very vivid. Satan will just gently massage us with temptation. He wants us to succumb, but we have that power of the Holy Spirit that is there to aid us to overstep those temptations. Well, this account of Michael acting in the will of God, as powerful and magnificent as it is, shows us that God not only works on a grand scale, but that he comes down to us, that he works with and in our individual souls. The reference to angels in our gospel lesson supports individual guardian angels, where we mentioned that in heaven, their angels, the possessive word their angels. We're taught in Scripture that angels guard and that they minister to God's people. In the book of Psalms we learn, for he shall give his angels charge over thee, to keep thee in all thy ways, lest they shall bear thee up in their hands, lest they dash thy foot against a stone. Sounds just a little familiar, doesn't it? That was one of the temptations of Christ. This is just how subtle Satan works to get us to turn to him. He took a blessing of the guidance and protection of angels, and he turned it into a curse. If Jesus had succumbed to that temptation, he would have been cursed. There would have been no protection, because he would have been doing something for his own person rather than for the will of his heavenly Father. We learn from St. Paul's epistle to the Hebrews, are they not ministering spirits sent forth to minister them who shall be heirs of salvation? We have protection by angels because we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Remember from the 1 Corinthians, it's in the 6th chapter. What, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you? God sends angels to protect this temple, to protect your temples, because we have that Holy Spirit residing, dwelling within our hearts. It is also said that when we're born, God appoints an angel to be our guardian angel, and that guardian angel is the one that takes us back home. God has cleansed and keeps his heavenly kingdom free of all evil and injustice. God has set in motion his will for us through his only begotten Son and through guardian angels for further guidance and protection in this life. God didn't tell us it was going to be easy. I think we talked a little bit about that before we came in this morning. Because we learned from St. Peter's charge, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. This is part of a prayer that's in the Divine Office Compline, which is actually the next office after evening prayer. It's one of the seven. So through God's gift to us, our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ, and through the protective watch and care of our guardian angels sent by God as his messengers, we are aided with ancillary or additional guidance for strength to resist temptation, which wars against the soul. Amen.